You know, I used to be pitcher for the New York Daleks.
We now pitch for the Mets. Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? I'm your host, Zach, and I know a lot about Doctor Who.
And I'm also your host, Cassie, and I don't know a lot about Doctor Who.
And it's our 1 year anniversary, Cassie. Sort of.
Happy sort of birthday to us.
Yeah, our first episode, our first three episodes dropped on October 31st of last year.
This is October 29th. It's as close as we can get without releasing a little mini-sode or something that day, which we might do anyway. But, you know, that's kind of neat that you and I have
managed to go a full circle around the sun, tolerating one another, putting up with this show, someone dropping our mail off at the front door.
Yeah, that scares me every time. But yeah, good for us.
Good for us. Hey, high five.
That was a bad high five.
Hopefully the mic picked it up.
We could do it again. Hold on. There we go.
A little bit better.
Hey, Zach, what is your podcast wish for this year? I would like a new
Dalek episode. Today we are looking at series 5, episode 3, Victory of the Daleks.
It's time to celebrate.
V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. We are just some Dalek guys. Exterminate.
I thought you were going to do H-O-T-T-O-G-O. We are Daleks. Time to go.
Chapel Roan Dalek.
I want to keep on dancing at the Pink Pony Club.
Yes, this is Victory of the Daleks, our first Dalek story of the
ever
of the 11th
Doctor. This is the first one that we've ever seen.
The first one of the 11th Doctor. So you got a glimpse there at the end of the last episode that this was the Daleks and Winston Churchill.
It's the shadow of a Dalek and Winston Churchill saying, "Doctor, it's an emergency.
I feel like something could be very dangerous."
So what might you be expecting from a Winston Churchill and the Daleks journey?
I don't even know. It does. We are circling back around then to like World War II era Daleks.
Uh-huh.
So Dalek Nazis still very much on the table.
That is true. So what might you be expecting from Daleks in World War II?
Oh, man. I don't even know what these Wile E. Coyotes are up to. It would be a wild swing for them to have built like a Dalek concentration camp, but you know what? I wouldn't put it past them. It wouldn't be that though. It would be like Camp Dalek, and they take on human.
You're just in a line to be exterminated. That's all. It's just a queue to be shot by one Dalek.
Unless you do like swear your allegiance to them, and then they're like, great. We now have a tailor.
I can get myself a nice suit.
We have Dalek doctors.
A nice three-piece number for my cousin's wedding.
Yeah. Finally, somebody with some sense around here. They have like 8 hairdressers. Like,
would any of you wear white after Labor Day?
I don't think so.
Exterminate, exterminate.
That's their question.
This is really petty Daleks.
Yeah, we've landed on the fact that...
It appears you are wearing socks with sandals.
An
exterminatable offense.
Yeah, we've established that the Daleks and the Cybermen are just mean girls, which then to bring it out to a broader sense, they are just either petty gays or mean teens.
Yeah, this is our first time seeing them being written by somebody other than Davies, though. Stephen Moffat is a heterosexual man.
Oh, they're going to suck now, then.
So, it's just something to be... It's just an interesting thought.
Unless he really leans into it.
Or he just leans into a different angle for them altogether.
Do not trust her. Oh, my God. I love your top. Where did you get it?
But basically, you're thinking that your thoughts are along the lines of the Daleks.
So cute.
Them leaning into the Daleks being Nazi adjacent.
That is the ugliest effing skirt I have ever seen. Maybe. Or they're like here to help because it's a classic. Whoa, here come the Cybermen. We didn't know about them. Or them. Dalek is the one true race.
All right.
Perfect, well, beautiful Dalek.
Well, let's dive into the Profassi a little bit so we can
flaws.
Watch. Let's dive into the Cassie Profassi here. Guess what's going on in this episode, and we will
party time. Excellent.
We will see how accurate those thoughts are. So in this episode, the Daleks are seeking to activate what's called a progenitor device that will bring forth a revival of pure Daleks.
The best Daleks, only Dalek for me. Love the best.
And so
we have the best Daleks here.
I will tell you, these Daleks are visually different from the Daleks that we have had. How do you think they are different?
Different color.
They're different colors.
Yeah.
Okay. Instead of like a little.
I'm gonna circle back around and like go full into. These ones don't wear bands, but.
Don't wear bands.
Like armbands.
Oh, gotcha. Little Livestrong wrist bracelets.
No. Like the Nazi. Like.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, now I feel like a goof.
Now you're an idiot. We have the best Daleks here. No other Daleks are as good as ours.
We are the best Daleks, the biggest Daleks. Cyberman comes to me, tears in his eyes.
Dalek Trump.
Oh, no.
All right. So the first part of the Profassi is that the new Daleks are different colors from the brassy boys we know right now. And then the second part is that in this, because they are in the past, they are posing as robots as opposed to outright saying they are the Daleks. And so as such, they're going by a different
beep,
name.
Bop, boop, boop, beep, boop, boop.
Yeah, they're going by a different name here.
Beep, boop, boop, bop, boop, boop, bop.
Are they going by the term Pepper Pots?
Oh, hell yeah.
Ironsides.
Okay.
Or Steel Defenders.
I really love the idea of them just saying, yes, we are Pepper Pots. Indeed, indeed, indeed. Steel Defenders, though, does sound like they're trying to hoodwink the human race. So I'm going to go with Steel Defenders.
All right. So Cassie's Profassi for this episode are that the pure Daleks are different colors from our little copper boys. And that in this episode, the Daleks are pretending to go by the name Steel Defenders. We will find out together as we watch Victory of the Daleks. Hey, everybody. Normally we put a little ad here where I'm doing a silly voice or something, but I have been very sick and am still a little hoarse. Nay. So instead, I would like to make the very strong point to all of our American listeners who are listening on the day this podcast comes out to please, please, please go vote. This election is one of the most important ones of our entire lives, and I really hope you will go out and vote for Kamala Harris, as well as finding state and local level elections that matter to you. If you're listening to this after Election Day 2024, I hope you're finding this message in a good timeline. Back to the episode. And we are back from Victory of the Daleks.
Would you like some tea?
Would you care for some tea? I am your soldier.
Would you care for some tea?
I had to
slap. Do you require tea?
Hits with a wrench. You do not care for tea?
Yeah.
I had been sitting on that one for a while. I was like, oh, okay, she's going to love it when they start offering people tea.
Of course. Of course I like when the Dalek, it's just, I am your soldier. You yes. cheeky fuck. No, you're not. You've painted yourself army green and slapped a Union Jack on your face. You are not a soldier.
Look at me for queen and country. Spot of tea, stiff upper lip, and all that.
Yeah, yeah, I love him.
Yeah, it's a very fun episode. It feels a little weird. That, like, I almost want that first chunk to last way longer.
Yeah.
Like, it really feels like it kind of, there's a part of me that knows, like, there's no real tension. We know the Daleks are the Daleks. It's not like we're going to be like, oh, these are actually just robots that happen to look exactly like the Daleks.
So there's a part of me that also appreciates the technology behind them.
Yeah.
And also sound exactly the same.
Yeah. So there's a part of me that understands that you probably couldn't drag that on too long without it feeling like, okay, let's get going.
No.
But there is a part of it that's like, man, I really would have loved just a little more Dalek butler.
I laundered your uniform, sir. What do you mean the butler did it? I certainly would not exterminate someone.
His gun is actively smoking.
I was just holding this.
His body is still showing their like skeleton see through. Like,
he was like that when I got here. He told me to look outside, and when I turned back, he was exterminated. What a pity.
Oh, well. Speaking, though, of exterminating people,
mm-hmm.
The doctor, not the doctor, the other doctor.
Which one? Oh,
Bracewell.
Oh, Dr. Bracewell, yeah. Yeah, he was. That was a fun little twist. Because they really like lean into Bracewell must be working with the Daleks. Like, because he insists that he built them, and we know that he didn't.
They are my invention.
And then he has these, like, different, like, schematics and blueprints for other, like, way out of this world technology.
And this one came to me in the bath.
Yeah. Which, that can't be safe for an electronic man to get into a bathtub.
I mean, he had a rubber suit.
He had a skin suit. So as long as he didn't go, like, he didn't, like, get under the water and start, like, gurgling, making bubbles.
Yeah. As long as he don't get any water in his ear, he's fine.
I do like the way that it reveal it is by them blowing off his hand.
Yeah.
Because there's some nice, like, almost trick foreshadowing with that one. Because I feel like you would be like, why don't the Daleks just exterminate him? And it turns out because there's a bomb in him.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of where it's like you'll question something, but then the episode will come back around and like give you a proper answer. Speaking of the Daleks, speaking of like the foreshadowing that you don't realize is foreshadowing, you know, in the back half of it, they say that what they really wanted was the doctor to say that he is the doctor and they are the Daleks to get the progenitor to recognize them.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a part of it where when the first Dalek sees the doctor, he's like, your identity is unknown. Perhaps you could say it into this microphone.
Shh. I didn't catch that.
All he says is, your identity is unknown. But when you go back and when you're like watching it, he's really like, there is a part of it was like, he's definitely just trying to get him to say, I am the doctor and you are the Daleks.
Perhaps, could you say that a little louder? I don't know if my thigh could hear you.
Say that one more time, facing me directly. Do Sorry, not look I, at anybody else.
I was not listening.
Sorry, I saw a bird.
This episode gets made fun of a little bit for some of the stuff that happens in the back half.
Is it the Daleks coming out looking like Kia Souls?
Yeah, the Go-Go Power Daleks. Mighty Morphin Power Daleks.
Well, because the white one rolled out and I went, oh, fuck, white one. Oh, fuck, a red one.
And you can collect them all.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was something about it where I think because it was they released a whole like rainbow suite of them, whereas before the Daleks all had like the same copper finish.
I mean, I kind of chalk that up to maybe brand new Daleks are painted. And these ones are the copper ones are just so old.
Yeah, but well, I think moreover, what I'm getting at is like, I think the copper ones were so like instantly iconic that they, when, you know, when they went back and tried to redesign them in this way, they sort of overdid it. And now there's like five of them. But the only time we've ever seen Daleks of different colors was like Dalek Sec.
Do you not like my highlights?
Yeah, and Daleks aren't supposed to have like individual identity. So there's a part of it where like the different colors sort of disagree with their.
But what if I like the color orange a lot?
Then you will be exterminated for difference.
But I am orange a lot.
One of my favorite, I will say that.
It, for me, truly, though, it was just the rainbow of Dalek.
Yeah.
Because I was like, okay, I can accept, like, true Dalek is white.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that has some.
Or they all, maybe they all function in grayscale. That has some
implications behind it.
Yeah.
And then each rainbow one coming out, I was like, all right, they do. Each one sounds a little different, but they don't have their own task.
Yeah, they don't seem to be built for anything different. They still have the same two attachments. It doesn't seem like there's any sort of designation for,
but
like,
a, look, green has a new attachment. He can trim trees.
Says, I have scissors. Yeah. Do you need some paper cut?
Show him to your Tim Burton.
We call this Dalek Edward.
No reason. Actually, should have been no reason.
I will say one trait I do like that they changed with them is that these Daleks have like goat eyes. You know what I mean? Where they like got really close in on the stalks.
We have scary peepers.
Yeah, they would like get really close in on the eye stalks, and you could see that instead of like a round eye staring back, it's this like rounded rectangle
bovine
shape.
Bovine eyeball.
Yeah. I think that's kind of a neat idea whoever came up with that that's really clever. Cause you know, whenever we see what the Daleks are seeing, it is on a screen. So it being this kind of like rectangular-y screen shape makes sense, but also it does make them a little freaky.
Well, especially if you really do want to take it all the way to the Dalek being so anti-human,
mm-hmm.
giving them this goat eye gives them an almost like Baphomet feel.
Yeah, which ties back into earlier when Churchill says, if Hitler invaded hell, I would give a favorable reference to the devil. Because he is, in a sense, siding with demons by siding with the Dalek. It is pretty funny, though, when the Daleks are like, behold the resurrection of the master race. You almost picture the master being like, and we're back, baby, in his little hoodie.
I honestly did. It's like,
like the Dalek's heads like pop open like a trash can and John Sim pops out still wearing his little hoodie.
Yeah.
It's me.
A squirrely man.
Mm-hmm. I do like that the progenitor device looks like a tiny Dalek.
Either a tiny Dalek or butt plug.
It is a little known fact, Daleks are 80% butt. Flip us over, just a hole.
Jeez. This whole episode is just going to be us doing Dalek impressions.
I mean, I feel like that's 75% of the episode is just them. But doing Dalek impressions does also say that's another thing they did that sort of drifts away from what the fun of the Daleks is. The Daleks had that like high pitched squeal of meh, almost like a Skeletor kind of voice.
I do not know what you are talking about.
But these new Daleks, they talk more like this.
It was just the white one.
We are down here now. We are in charge.
Yeah. It was just the white one.
Mm-hmm. This is another one.
The other colors sound like this.
This is another one of those decisions that
they also didn't wiggle with rage as much.
Yeah. Well, it was a part. And I think that they were like, we want to make them look like cool and new. So they need to be like well polished. But like part of what makes
these
the
ones are piloted by hamsters, yeah, and they roll down their windows and give you cool finger guns. Let them know that they're cool.
So there's a part of it where it's like I understand all of these impulses, but there is also a part of it where like part of the part of the fun of the Daleks is kind of the jank of them. Like the fact like you're trying to make Daleks like neat and polished and cool, but they still have a plunger for a hand.
And an egg beater.
And an egg beater for the other. So there's a part of it where it's just like, you kind of need to just lean into the fact that they're fucking lame.
They're so silly.
Like they are the worst parts of Twitter personified.
I did. They're Reddit.
Especially the red one.
Hot take. The main man, white Dalek, just kind of looked like my car.
Your Kia Soul.
Now that I'm really thinking about it, I'm like, yeah, there was just like white shiny parts and like black matte plasticky parts, you know, like a Kia Soul, which I said as a joke. But now that I've been really sitting on it more, I'm like, man, my Dalek doesn't even sound cool when I run it.
So we've been dancing around a little bit, so I should spell out the Cassie Profassi today. You get one of 2 points. The Daleks are different colors from previous interpretations, and also they were going by the Ironsides instead of the Steel Defenders or the Pepper Pots. It would have been, I do agree that them going by the Pepper Pots would have been fun.
It's a little too on the nose.
Yeah.
A little tongue in cheek.
Yeah. But yes, they were the Ironsides,
which is like a little lame, but eh.
Yeah. I mean, there's a part of it that it feels very like 1940s British style weaponry that feels
our
like
secret weapon.
Yeah. Our secret weapon. Should we talk a little bit about Churchill?
What of him?
I mean, how did you feel about the actor playing him and
he did fine.
One thing I really like about his portrayal of Churchill.
He's a cheeky little bastard who keeps trying to take the TARDIS key.
It's specifically that he seems like he's always being a salesman, if that makes sense. Like there's almost every scene he's in, he's got a beat where he's like trying to make someone feel better or like get something from them or just like be really chummy. But there's a part of it that always feels like I'm doing this because if I get you to cheer up, you'll leave. You'll stop bothering me right now.
Very customer service.
Yeah. Very like it's a very like slick politician look at Churchill in a way that I think is interesting because I feel like typically a lot of the interpretations of Churchill, especially when it's not about Churchill, where he's just like a secondary character in the story, he is portrayed more as probably a heroic figure, more of like a strategic military general, which there is that aspect to him here too, but it all seems framed around the idea of this like slick oil salesman.
This one though, I really did get that grandfather, like, I care about my family. His family just happens to be all of the UK, yeah. But
specifically the Allied forces against the Nazis.
You know, but you do get that impression that he is doing whatever he can to protect the people that look up to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so even if that does mean aligning himself with these... Because there's nothing about the Daleks that are inherently like, ah, yes, a man-made machine. Because there's a lot about them that just feels like it not necessary. Like there's a lot of decorative elements on them that if they were genuinely made by human, they would not have as many like unnecessary caps. And
especially in World War II where resources had to be like.
Resources were scarce, and so whatever you were building was just...
It had to be used efficiently.
It there were no extra flourishes for things.
Yeah, you feel like...
And so if Daleks were man-made machines, there would not be, you know, 50-some-odd cups glued onto their skirts.
I say, Bracewell, what are these... What are the bumps? What are these little lumps that are all over the Daleks? In case they get really sad, they can use those bumps to blow themselves up. What? What are you talking about, Bracewell?
Nothing.
I don't know. It just came to me in the bath. And also, Ian McNeice is just a very talented actor, and he looks like Churchill.
Yep. He's got the jowl for it.
God, that is such a perfect jowl, too.
And I say that in like the nicest, like most loving way that I can.
Yeah, like we're not making fun of his build. Like Churchill had jowls.
Churchill, the human being, was drawn like a character.
And he also spoke like one too. And also the jowls are important because that's part of Winston Churchill's iconography is the way he spoke.
And the way he spoke was always from down here. You could feel his cheeks moving whenever he said, "We shall fight them on the beaches. We shall fight them on the landing grounds." Like, it's impossible to escape that, like, part of him.
Because he doesn't have a bright sound.
Yes.
Not like our favorite Richard Nixon.
What if I told you that we would also, the 11th Doctor also meet Richard Nixon?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Do I get a future point for that?
You know what? Tell you what, I'll give you a Cassie Professy point for just for pulling that out of, for pulling that totally out of your ass.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, in my defense, if I'm going to reference any other president that has a vocal stim that has been exploited by media, Richard Nixon 100% is going to be that.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Yeah, there's an adventure with Nixon next season. Yeah, I'll give you a point for that. Why not? That was just an interesting little pull you did there.
Haru! That's Richard Nixon for hooray.
I enjoy that the Doctor is so, like, triggered by the Daleks that he sort of loses his, like, in other episodes, he's like, "Oh, I got to explore this mystery. I need to know what's going on." And this one, he's like, "I'm going to grab a wrench and bash your head in because you're the fucking Daleks."
He starts behaving like a like, have you ever seen the videos of, like, retired cadaver dogs or, like, bomb sniffing dogs? They're retired. They don't need to do their job anymore, but they're in a place that has a cadaver or a bomb, and they're immediately like, "No, no, this is wrong. This is bad." Like, that was the Doctor in that moment, was just like, "Yeah, I'm here to enjoy." Nope.
I mean, there was some very, I mean, I do feel like this is a really good, a good example of the 11th Doctor as the Doctor too. Like, I think you're really getting the symbol of, like, he's not just like a goofball. Like, there are goofy aspects to him. Like, when he's like, "I got to convince the Daleks I can blow up the TARDIS. I need something that looks like a big button. Hey, I got this cookie."
Yeah.
don't scan my cookie. I mean, my button.
He doesn't. Did he just have that on the TARDIS? Just like a little bag of cookies?
I think he took it from the Daleks, like, tea tray. Because when he takes a bite out of it, he goes, "Yes, it's a jammy dodger, but I was promised tea."
Amazing.
I mean, it doesn't really matter where he got it from. Maybe it was on the TARDIS, maybe it was with the tea supplies, but I really just enjoyed that, like, callback. "I was promised tea." Like, these new pure Daleks, like, "Oh, you are correct. In honor of previous Daleks, we shall serve you,
like,
tea."
Like, that's the most British part about them, is that these Daleks still enjoy a cup of tea.
I mean, it wouldn't be the first time some tea has come in to
shut up
to save the day. And I think you're also starting to see more of, like, the way this Doctor operates is by making speeches.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's more negotiations, but generally it's just like, "I'm going to buy time to stop whatever it is you're trying to do by monologuing at you for quite a while." And Matt Smith is good at it. I'll give him that. He is very good at it. He was apparently told by David Tennant to memorize all his lines the day before the week of filming, because he would be, some jobs you can learn your lines the day of, but for the Doctor, who spends a lot of his time making dramatic speeches, you can't do that for this job. This is not a gig where you can learn the day of. You have to have it all. You can't have it on your hand. You can't pull a...
You can't have it on your knees.
Yeah. You can't pull a Sean Bean in Fellowship of the Ring and have it taped to your thigh.
Yeah.
It's...
God, that's so fun. That is a little fact I learned recently, that he had that monologue scribbled on some papers, taped to his knees and his thighs, which, it is a dramatic enough monologue. He can have his head down for it.
Yeah, it works. He absolutely sells it.
It 100% works. It's just so funny, because that means that there had to have been some shots where the camera was just angled a little bit too low. And mm-hmm. They were like, "Oh, got to redo it." You could see it.
And then
you could see your post-its.
Some bits of lore were interesting, that apparently Amy does not remember the end of series 4.
Can I tell you something?
You don't remember the end of series 4
either? I also don't remember at the end of series four.
That was when the Earth was stolen and the Daleks were patrolling the streets so they could power their like reality bomb. So the human race saw the Daleks. They were there. We know that other humans saw the Daleks because we saw the woman in the waters of Mars have her little Peter Pan Dalek. So there's a part of it where it was, you know, Amy should know about that. They stole the planet. But there seems to be an implication that there's something going on between that and the crack that's been following them around.
Yeah, you exited it. Whoa. Because you don't want to see any of the, like, coming up next segments, mm-hmm. you've whisked away from the end of the episodes, but I have clocked the crack that was on the space whale and then the crack on the wall behind.
Yeah, they're the same shape as the crack that was on in the wall in Amy's room. Yeah, so there's something about that that's been following them around.
Maybe it's Amy.
Could be. It could be tied to Amy. Yeah, I do enjoy. There's a part of me that's a little annoyed by it because it feels like how many times is Earth going to get invaded, like fully invaded? And they just kind of like hand wave it away. Like no one remembers that now. Now, it's a little unclear if.
Never mind all that.
Alien invasion. I don't remember that. It must have been made up. Everyone suffers from the same thing Donna suffers from, which is just they all miss it.
I mean, the number of people that do believe that the Holocaust was a lie.
You know,
I would not be surprised if something as traumatic as the Earth getting kidnapped out of its spot in the emptiness of space. Put somewhere or put in a pocket dimension and then returned back from whence it came. Considering everything, like we've never been through anything mm-hmm. that big, mm-hmm. that's impossible, or is it? But
like in the world of Doctor Who, conspiracy theorists are doing the opposite of what they do in our reality, where conspiracy theorists try to make the world seem way crazier than it is. But conspiracy theorists and Doctor Who are like, no, that was just, we all just had a mass hallucination. This is very, very understandable by science. They're like trying to make the world more boring because
consider the number of people that are like, oh yeah, COVID? Nah, that doesn't happen anymore. That whole year we spent inside? Nah, I don't recall. So you can't tell me with a straight face that if something like that happened where the Earth was removed, replaced, removed and then replaced, mm-hmm. that you want to have people that were like, that didn't happen.
It is a little unclear if it's all humanity or if it's just Amy. So we can curiously keep an eye on that.
We haven't really interacted with any other humans to neither confirm nor deny my claim.
Yeah.
So I am just spitballing here. Yeah, Thank you for clarifying that it was just Amy.
Well, no, actually, I am curious for us to watch because there's a part of me that doesn't really remember how they address other
you
people.
You just said you binged this whole series last night.
Yeah, this series doesn't really go back to that point because there's only one Dalek episode per season. So we don't really see them again until
crap.
So it's a part. That's what I'm saying is I'm rewatching the show, there's a part of me that's like, they haven't really addressed if other people recognize the Daleks or not. So it'll be a little point we'll have to like keep in mind here. See, the other thing I want to bring up was I feel like you get a good sense of Moffat's ethos in writing this series too, in his version of the show with Bracewell at the end, where the Doctor has a very like particular idea of humanity that he can't convey and he needs his companions to do that, where his idea of like trying to convince Bracewell that he's human is by making him extremely sad.
His idea of convincing Bracewell that he is human is I took it as a as more of a like, we're going to be using this as a reference a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like in Peter Pan, when Peter's trying to get the kids to think happy thoughts. And the ideas of like, oh, happy thoughts, winter, Christmas, candy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a very base level. I mean, Peter knows like, no, deeper, dig deeper than surface. But I think in this particular case, the Doctor's idea of humanity is that, like, go back to your childhood, go back to a innocence and sometime, like, you know, think back then. Whereas yeah. Amy's understanding of it is like, have you ever been in love? Well, would you like me to describe it to you?
I think it's a little more, even more on what you're saying here. The doctor, like, he's, tell me about your parents. And he's like, my parents died. And so the doctor's like, oh, good. That's a really big emotion. You can feel, you know, like, just really, really dig deep into that pain.
The doctor is every theater teacher.
Yeah.
That didn't make it big. So now they're a teacher.
Yeah. So he's been like, really dig into that pain. Feel how sad it makes you because you're a human. You're a human when you feel that kind of pain. And then Amy's like, it's not just, have you ever been in love? Amy's question is, have you ever fancied someone you know you shouldn't? And there's a part of it where, like, that's a very human thing.
Yeah.
Because there are plenty of animals that can feel great sadness. There are plenty of animals that experience loss, that do all those things. But in terms of, like, being a human, that complicated emotion of, like, the unequivocal joy of love with the, like, shame of knowing you shouldn't do it, with the sadness of knowing you can't do anything about it.
Well, hang on. Do we know that animals don't feel that? Because I know that there are some animals that are monogamous, but we don't know if there's a crow out there that's like, yeah, I love my crow wife, but there's
she
another.
She is a bitch.
There's another crow that just put up their nest across the street. Why
would I go hang out with my murderer friends? I got plenty of murder at home. No respect at all.
Jeez.
Take my crow wife, please. Crowdney Dangerfield.
No, I think that crows are pretty. When their crow partners die, they throw crow funerals and.
But what I mean is, like,
they don't, but they do more.
There's something more than just, like, feel something really strong. It's feel the full complexity of human emotion.
Feel something strong versus be confused. Animals don't feel confusion.
Amy's just like, question your sexuality.
Question everything. What was her name?
Yeah, I do. But I think there's something.
Dorabella. Ugh, really?
But I think there's something to this idea that the doctor has been, like, a victim of his own trauma, which is to say that for him, like, the emotion he is always feeling at his core is a great sadness. And he uses other things to mask
it. Well, he's been traumatized.
Yeah. No, this is me agreeing. He's been deeply traumatized to the point where, like, the core emotion he feels is this, like, sadness.
That's the emotion that's at the control panel most of the time.
Yeah. And so when he's trying to convey something to, when he's trying to convey humanity to someone else, there's a part of him that, aside from being a Time Lord, there's a part of him that's lost that, or at least lost his ability to fully grasp it, that Amy still has. And so we're getting another one of those, like, why does the doctor need a companion? And some, you know, in David Tennant's case, it was because he would become kind of a little shit who would get too braggadocious and big for his britches. Whereas for Matt Smith, it's more like, if I don't have a companion, I get very, very sad.
Either I get very, very sad, or I look at Matt Smith's doctors so far as being like a balloon, mm-hmm. and Amy is holding onto the string. The balloon's freaking out, but she's like, nah, I got you.
Yeah, I think it's a very good moment, that like monologue with Bracewell. And I also really enjoy the, like, callback at the end where Bracewell's certain they're going to dismantle him. And he's like, oh yeah, we're going to come back in like 10 minutes to do that. 15 minutes to do that.
Oh, but the thing might take a little longer. 30 minutes.
Yeah, 30 minutes. And, you know, so while we're gone, absolutely do not go look for that post office.
Do not go look for what's her face?
For Dorabella.
Dorabella. Well, you can get a lot done in 30 minutes. But don't do any of that.
And I there's a part of me that wonders if Bracewell, like, is still alive because he's a robot. Or if, because he's got, like, human skin, if he, like, ages and then eventually just shuts down. Dorabella's gone.
shutting down.
He's powered by, what was it, like a wormhole?
It was some kind of sci-fi gobbledygook.
So probably we'll live forever.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. I guess we could see, or maybe him believing so much that he's human shut that part down, and now he'll just live a nice, comfortable life for 30 minutes.
Even still, I think that if that were me, I would like to. that's how I would want to go. Just cool. I know that I have 30 minutes. I can do whatever I need to in the next 30 minutes. I
can finally learn to play Magic the Gathering in 30 minutes.
Jeez. I can make myself a cup of tea in 30 minutes.
I can microwave and eat this nice pizza in 30 minutes.
Shit. I can wait for the oven to preheat in 30 minutes.
Well, that was...
Hey, Zach, what else can you do in 30 minutes?
go to a post office with some ash trees.
Look for your long-lost love.
Or...
Masturbate.
We can record an episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Right here on Who Is My Doctor?
And next week, we see the return of another recurring villain in Time of the Angels.
Time of the what?
Time of the Angels.
Time of the what?
On the next episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Time of the who?
Who is indeed? Happy anniversary, Wimdy Pod. I wish I hadn't spent it the sickest I have ever been. Yeah, some of you may have noticed we missed last week's release because I suddenly got really, really sick. But I'm on the mend now, and hopefully we'll be on track till the end of the year. I might try to get us caught up at some point, so keep an eye out for a bonus episode some week in the future. Next week, though, we see the return of the Weeping Angels in Time of Angels and Flesh and Stone. So I'm sure Cassie's gonna have a wonderful time. You can follow us on Blue Sky Threads, Twitter, and Instagram at WimdyPod. And we'll see you next Tuesday, because unless I'm bedridden, your Tuesdays are Whosdays.